Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18 plus, begambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Tries to play it forward, Hayward puts it up in the air, comes down, charge for 3-2, it is 3-2! Perez scores again!
And then it's on to Raheem Sterling, who's in behind the defence. He takes on the defender, completes his hat-trick. Brilliant! Absolutely brilliant!
Infield, four additional minutes, we're into the first of them. Hazard into the corner! What a goal from Eden Hazard!
But here come Leicester, and Vardy's away. He's gone through the middle. Goalkeeper stays at home for the moment. Vardy scores!
Knockout comes in field for Brighton, tries to drive, what a goal! Anthony Knockout pulls one right out of the top draw to give the Seagulls the lead again.
Mane chases forward at the other end, Heaton tries to bring him down, Mane goes round him and Mane has sealed it.
It's the Premier League preview show for week 31 of the 18-19 season and for the FA Cup quarter-finals. It's celebration time for English clubs in Europe, with all four through to the last eight of the Champions League. But it's the domestic trophy chase for three of those sides this weekend. Liverpool can go back top in their match with doomed Fulham, while Manchester City and Manchester United have FA Cup quarter-final ties. Tottenham, well, they're all down on Margate Beach in kiss-me hats and slurping ice cream without a game for the next 3 weeks. Good old winter break. There's plenty of other action for us to talk about as well. We will get into all the big games. I'm Tom Rennie, and this, of course, is the Premier League preview show with the FA Cup as well. Right, let's say hello to our panel, starting with a man back from Cheltenham with the TalkSport team, looking 110%, raring to go for the FA Cup weekend. It is TalkSport's football editor, David Walker. Have you had an egg sandwich? Alka-Seltzer? How you feeling, mate?
I haven't had any of those things, but I don't need them. I'm all good.
You're okay. How was Cheltenham, mate?
I had a great day at Cheltenham. Didn't have many winners, but that's not the point. It's the fun, it's the taking part that counts.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. Spoken like a true Watford fan. Great to have David Walker with us on the programme. Completing our panel today, two former footballers. He's sitting directly opposite me now. He's the former Manchester United and England man, Paul Parker. How are you, mate?
I'm fine, thank you very much.
You've been watching Cheltenham, taking Dave's tips?
Not at all. I'm not a horse racing person. But
no, I don't really understand it. I lose too much money. It's confusing.
I don't get it, but I think Dave was more about the horse racing. Just his everything, demeanour, everything suggests it was more about other stuff than horse racing.
Yeah, he's a
the
party
social
man.
Side. Yes. Yeah. I didn't want to say that because people might add things on like a lager top, a kind of gin and tonic and things like that. So
the fillies
yeah.
and things.
Yes. Oh, yes, forgot about them as well.
Don't forget, of course,
it was
we're talking
day
about
yesterday.
Horses. Was it really? Did you have a nice hat?
I didn't have a fascinator.
That's
no.
a shame. But always fascinating to have our other guest
what
here.
What a segue.
Thanks, man. It's the former Watford, Feyenoord, West Ham, Republic of Ireland striker. Sonny David Connolly. You all right, mate?
I'm very good, you?
I am doing very, very well. I'm not hungover, so that's good, isn't it? Always be professional on the show. That's what I always say. Right, let's get to the football coming up this weekend. It's a weird weekend for us because there's four FA Cup quarterfinals, three of which we're broadcasting internationally, four of them in the UK, and a whole bunch of Premier League games you want to get to as well. So we're going to try and cover it in as much detail as we possibly can. Let's start with Liverpool. They go to Fulham on Sunday, 2:15 UK time. In the Premier League. Couple of stats for the game. Fulham have lost 9 of their last 10 Premier League matches, including their last 6 in a row. They've not lost more consecutively in the top flight since a run of 11 back in 1962. Liverpool's last 3 Premier League away games have all finished level, with 2 of those finishing 0-0. They last drew 4 in a row on the road in the league back in 1996. A strange, anomalous stat. Let's talk about Mo Salah. Not scoring goals frequently at the moment, but to my eye, I know, Dave, you saw him quite recently as well in the flesh. To my eye, I think he's playing as well as he ever has. And that little chip into Sadio Mane for the winning goal in the end at Bayern, incredible pass.
Yeah, it was a fantastic bit of skill, fantastic bit of technique. And I think I was talking to people yesterday about this, actually, when we were watching the game, and some people just very easily falling into the trap at the moment of saying, oh, Salah, he's, what, you know, not what he used to be. He's not what he was last season. Last season was, you know, a bit of an outlier. But last season, he was exceptionally good last season, scored an unbelievable amount of goals. But, you know, he was probably always going to slightly regress this season in terms of numbers. But generally, in terms of his performances, they've by and large been very good. He's had the odd game like the Merseyside derby where he missed chances that you'd have expected him to score, but he's still a brilliant player. He's still right up there in terms of the goals that he scored, the goals he's created, and he's still a very dangerous player, still a player that Liverpool will look to in the big matches, like last night against Bayern, like against Napoli earlier on in the Champions League in the season. When they need something, he's still a player that can deliver.
He's got 20 goals.
Yeah.
And he's still got 20 goals with how many games left? 9?
He's lost it.
Yeah, so he's not doing too shabby. But you would have to say, without maybe those goals, they needed to have been tighter at the back, you know, because they are down on their bit on their goal scoring. Obviously, Mane stepped up, you know, but certainly with Van Dijk and the likes of Alisson, they've basically cut their goals against in half. Mm. They're running at half the rate they were last season,
and
which
they've
is
spread their goals
massive,
around, Dave,
and they've spread
well.
Them around, yeah.
Yeah, so that makes a difference. Teams that win leagues do not rely on one striker.
But it just shows you, even though they're conceding, I think it's half a goal a game, right? So you average that out, you know, they've basically cut what they conceded last season. You know, if they didn't then, for example, have the goals that they got this season, they would no way be competing for the title. And that's where, to me, Van Dijk has got to be up there for, like, player of the year, footballer of the year. It's got to be.
Can I ask you a question from a forwards perspective? Because Mo Salah last season, of course, was the go-to man. I'm sorry, Paul, I know, but did you ever score a goal? Anyway, listen, I've got to ask you about... he's a player that was the kind of go-to guy. He was scoring all the goals and all that sort of stuff. Now, we mentioned we think he's still playing very well, but at the moment, he isn't the guy on the end of things. Sadio Mane is. What's it like, from a player's perspective, to go from the lead player, the star, the blockbuster star, to the supporting cast? And is that a tough thing for him, in
a
way?
He's not the only one, right? You've got to remember, Bobby Firmino was the 9. Then he started playing him deeper as a 10 with Salah as the 9. So I think he's had to adapt this season, Jurgen Klopp, and you've got to take it out to him because he's always found a way. Now, they maybe haven't been as free-flowing as they were last season, but they've always found a way. And I think, say for Salah, he's always got that exceptional quality on his left foot, but he's so left-foot dominant, isn't he? You saw with the ball last night, you know, that left foot outside of the boot, which was fantastic. You could say against Everton, as David said there, could have taken his chance. Would Messi have finished a strike like that? Because I guess you're comparing him to, what, the very, very best now, aren't you? That's what you're saying. You know, is he as good as those, your Ronaldos and your Messis? He's got to be up there, but maybe he's not quite at that level, but he's maybe tailed off a tiny bit this season, but he's still a top, top player.
Yeah. Listen, we've got to talk about Fulham a little bit, Paul. I know you've watched them a lot this season. I thought they were quite good, actually, in the game at Anfield between these two. I think Ryan Sessegnon went close early on, probably should have scored in that game. Scott Parker's come in. Has he changed much since replacing Ranieri?
Well, I was at Leicester, where I saw Dave pre-Cheltenham.
Right, okay, yeah,
looking very
back
well
when he
then.
Was a full person.
Yeah.
When, and not the shell and husk we see
today. I was in worse nick there than I am now.
Let's get that out of the way.
Okay, come on.
Well, your stature looked very well, by the way, anyway, Dave. So I saw him there, and I was, and a lot of people, Fulham people, saying to me it was good against Chelsea. My argument with that, because I'm a sceptic, but the bonus was you had a new manager. That changes things the game after. First game with a new manager, and you played against Chelsea, which is always a big game for Fulham. Very rarely win them, but it's always a big game. The fans are up for it. The fans were buzzing. Ranieri was gone. Everything was good. A game, maybe, if they'd have scored a second, everyone would have said they deserved it, Fulham, for their second half performance. So you get to Leicester and you think, OK, let's see what happens now. And to be honest, I saw what I expected. I saw a team with a soft middle. A team with no aspirations in scoring, trying to score a goal in the first half. Mitrovic now is showing now that he's getting frustrated. You could see it. He's getting very frustrated. I think he held himself very well because I thought he could have lost it a few times. And then you see a second half, then you see a goal conceded by having a person who's not a very good defender playing in a defensive midfield role. Gets caught in possession. Bang, Vardy does what Vardy sets up, I think, the young lad from Monaco on loan.
Tielemans.
Yep.
Tielemans,
yeah. So sets him up, and then you think, right, OK. They bounce back, fortunately, but still, I mean, I said to David when we were sitting downstairs, very disappointed with Ryan Sessegnon.
He got hooked at half-time again, yeah, didn't he? Not for the first time this season.
Correct, yeah. Really disappointed with what's happening with him. He's showing nothing at all. He's showing physical weakness. I think he's showing mental weakness.
We spoke about that downstairs, didn't we? Yeah. In terms of everything's always gone right for Ryan Sessegnon. He's always played, you know, younger age groups coming through, the next, you know, bright young thing. Never been on the sideline, probably never been taken off. Now walking around with his head down, looking at the floor, you know, and I guess that's what it does to the Premier League. It's ruthless. And I think Scott, you know, he's got to be ruthless as well, isn't he, Scott Parker? He can't afford to carry any passengers, and they've done that too often this season, carried far too many passengers.
Well, he's kind of changed it because Kevin McDonald started in midfield, Cairney started. So I thought myself, at least he's given the players who done all the work last season, he's given them a chance, which I felt they deserved the chance at the start of the season. And I just wonder if Jukanovic was told to go and do all that buying and then had to play him, and it caused so many problems. But even then, they still couldn't get going what they wanted to get going. They still couldn't play in that style that what the fans have been used to. Yeah. Because more than anything, they're in a league where you have to earn the right.
Right, next up, we're talking FA Cup. Some brilliant ties in the quarterfinals. We're going to start with Watford against Crystal Palace. Grudge match. Let's talk about the FA Cup quarterfinals. Some brilliant ones this time around. Watford against Crystal Palace is the first one we're going to discuss. 12:15 UK time. This one gets underway. Baby Colin, I want to come to you first on this, because last Saturday, I was doing the commentary of Man City against Watford. Now, I've loved doing Watford games this season. They've had some brilliant games of football. They've got some fantastic players, and I love watching them. They're in the battle for seventh and all that sort of stuff, but of course, the FA Cup game's on the horizon. They make seven changes for the game against Man City, including Deeney, who's in brilliant form right now, goes to the bench. Deulofeu drops down to the bench. Craig Cathcart's, I think, been the best centre-half this season, doesn't play as well, a few others too. They're losing the game. Of course, they lose the first goal through some diabolical refereeing from accountant come referee Paul Tierney. And then at 3-0 down, they bring on Deulofeu and Deeney. Now, I just want to ask you about resting players, because we're all going to have different opinions about seven changes. The Cup's coming up, and that's fine. You know, that's Grazia's decision. But if you've made the decision to rest your players, why at 3-0 down do you bring them on for half hour? I didn't get that.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, because obviously as soon as they come on, you showed their quality. I mean, what a flick round the corner. Super, terrific touch and finish from Deulofeu, who's been fantastic. But I guess, look, they could get that seventh spot, right? Couldn't they feasibly? Did he need to make so many changes? Seven, I think it was. Unless he's thinking, you know what, our record against those top six is so bad, you know, we might as well just take this on the chin. This is a defeat. We're not going to get anything from this game. I protect my players and then we move on. I got a feeling
it was a week before, though. It was a full week. It wasn't like they were playing on Tuesday night.
No, I understand, but you know, he hasn't got too many things wrong this season, has he, Avi Grazia?
So a lot of those players that he brought in have played a reasonable amount of football this season and have done quite well themselves when they've played. So it's not like he just completely pulled in all the reserves who never get games. He's changed his team in the cup competitions all the way through, and by the virtue of us being in a quarter final, it's worked. So, and it's a huge game. The quarter final against Crystal Palace is a massive game for Watford, because teams like Watford, like Crystal Palace, like Wolves, like Brighton, they're sensing an opportunity not just to get to the semi-final, but to get to a final here. And of course it's the bigger match in a way against Manchester City. If you played the first 11 or the second 11, whichever combination, they're likely going to lose. So,
what about momentum, though?
What
about momentum when you go up against a Man City and you've got your best team out there, your best players, and you go out there and you give them a game?
Been playing great as well, Watford, recent weeks.
Been doing well, and all of a sudden you get beat 1-0 and you think to yourself, should have had something, and then you've got that momentum of a good performance going into a cup game. How does that make you feel as a player? I'll tell you what, it makes you feel great. Your fans are on a high. We've done this at City. We deserve it.
Palace done that, didn't they? Palace done that and beat City, but I don't know if it did in that. I don't know. I think he's called it right, yeah, in terms of. Well, remember last season they lost, I think, six in a row, didn't they? Towards the end, out of their last nine, they lost six in a row. I mean, their form was in free fall, and I don't know whether he's trying to think, right, we don't want a repeat of that. I'm maybe going to have to manage my squad here a little bit. And I think you just write, most teams to me are writing City off whenever they played him, certainly in the Premier
League. I just find that strange as a ex-player, that you're sending a team out and you're virtually telling all those players, well, we're not going to win, just go out there and do your best. How's that supposed to make you feel?
Britos, in from the cold. You're playing this week. Yeah, success, you're in, mate. Yeah, next week, yeah, no chance. We'll play today. I just don't get that.
I find that's not
what he's saying, though, is it? He's not saying to those players.
Of course he is. Are they going to play? Is success going to play this weekend?
When you're leaving your best or two of what deemed the best players on the subs bench, you're virtually telling those players, well, just go and do a job, but no.
That's how players look.
It's like sometimes when you set up a training session and all of a sudden, you know, like you put that and put that on straight away, the player will turn and say, oh, I'm just a cone.
That's last week, my cones. I like that very much, the cone group. What about the game itself? Who plays, who doesn't? Does Gray play? Does Deeney play? Of course, Deulofeu comes back. What is the strongest Watford team to take on a Crystal Palace side who are actually very good on the road as compared to Selhurst Park?
You'd expect Deeney, obviously, to come back in. Deulofeu probably to be in behind him as that the second striker. You'd have Capu, Decore, Pereira, probably Will Hughes, back four of Cathcart, Cabasele, Holly Bassett left back, and yet right back, I don't know about the fitness of Firmino, but Jan Matt.
Can we bring in a Watford supporter, please? I want someone more knowledgeable than that man.
I mean, that going through that side there, that is a very strong starting 11. And that centre midfield as well, Decore and Capu both played last week.
Yeah.
Undroppable pairing. Very strong.
And the other thing I forgot to say is that, obviously, they could qualify for Europe, Watford. First time in
since 83?
Something like that. There's a lot at stake here. And they're close. They're really close. I think they could beat Palace here. I really do.
I'm become a little bit of a fan of Palace. I enjoy watching them at home. I'm like every Palace fan.
Because they keep losing?
Well, no, but you're disappointed because
they never score.
Because they don't score. They do everything but score goals.
It's mad, isn't it? It's
crazy. They dominate games. They make up. They can't score. But they go away from home and they win. And you say to yourself, cool, if you could get 50% of this at home, you'd be fighting for seventh spot. And they should be, Palace, in my opinion, with what they've got, be competing with Watford for that seventh spot. How strange is that? Not for Champions League, for seventh spot. Mm. That's how mad the league is. So they should be there. Roy Hodgson knows about there's something wrong. There's something wrong with them.
Well, what is wrong? I mean, I need you guys to explain this to me. Because away from home, I mean, we covered the Leicester game quite recently. Away from home, they were fantastic on the break. They look incisive. They're scoring goals. Batshuayi's made a difference going forwards. Zaha's playing well. Townsend's playing well. Against West Ham at home, they create chances but don't take them. Against Brighton at home, they get beaten and can only score a penalty because they get penalties every 7 minutes, apparently, at Selhurst Park. I mean, when teams sit deep against Crystal Palace, they can't break them down. What are they doing wrong? The talent is there.
I think they're unlucky against Brighton because arguably Knockhart could have been sent off, right? And then he goes and scores the winner. So you've got to feel a little bit of sympathy for Roy there. And you've got to remember they lost to a stunning goal. It was an absolutely incredible finish. But I don't know. It's hard to pin down. Townsend's had a terrific season, but Zaha hasn't. I think if they had a number nine from the very start, I think they would have had a far more successful season.
They're slow
season.
Starters, haven't they? They've always started slow in the last few seasons and had someone had to come in and get it sorted.
Absolutely. And I think, if he could get a number nine, a regular goal scorer for them, which they've tried for years and years and years, I don't know if it's Batshuayi, I'm not saying he's the answer, but somebody of that ilk.
He's played well, though, hasn't he?
He has done well. And I think someone like that would be a great signing for him.
And defensively, they're quite good as well. Yeah. They're back four are decent.
Sacco out there at the moment.
That is a big one. I mean, fullback wise, I think they're very good. Defensively and attacking wise, are decent. Wan-Bissaka is becoming maybe been the standout player for them this season, and maybe in the Premier League as well. What he's done, goalkeeper's the issue. They do lack, for me, a decent goalkeeper.
Yeah, Guaita's been playing, but Hennessy's been playing. Yeah. Spironi had a few games.
It's a really close game to call this week. As a Watford fan, I'm a bit nervous because of Crystal Palace's away record. Watford have beaten Crystal Palace twice in the league this season, so you're just thinking law of averages suggests they're not probably that much worse than Watford, although the league table suggests different. I agree with Paul. I think actually in reality the two sides are a lot closer. I can just see VAR is going to be in play this weekend, obviously in the FA Cup, and I can see Zaha somehow benefiting from that.
Will you be there, Dave? You going to the game? Will you be watching it?
I won't be. You know where I'll be? You'll never guess.
Go on.
I'm going to be in Luxembourg this weekend.
is there a big game on?
I'm on a stag do in Luxembourg. I don't know why they've chosen Luxembourg, but that's where I'll be. I'll be watching the game from a bar somewhere in Luxembourg.
They didn't anticipate Watford being in the quarterfinals, did they? Bad friends. Huge game, this one. Dave, good luck to you in this one. Listen, let's move on. Wolves against Man U. 7:55 UK time on Saturday. This one one gets underway. And this, I was watching the draw with James Fielden, who is a Wolverhampton Wanderers fan. You may have been there as well, actually. We were watching it on telly, and he's just going, anyone but Man U. I don't care who we get, but anyone I get but Man U. And all the names came out, and they were the last two left in the draw. And he was like, right, as long as we get them home, we got a chance. And because they were at home, he was like, we're going to do it. We're going to win the cup.
They've
like,
got a chance, haven't they?
They've got a great record against top 16 teams.
Yeah, I know, but
they?
I disagree. I think they'd have been maybe better, because Wolves are a good side away at top six sides. Very good sides. Mm. At Chelsea, at City, at Arsenal, yep, where they should have won. They're decent. At home, it hasn't always been that good for them. They haven't really controlled games as they do away from home.
On the game last week against Chelsea, Wolverhampton Wanderers in the Premier League, they were winning to the 91st minute. Eden Hazard scored a special goal. I was so, so impressed on the day by Leander Dendonca in the centre midfield. Flirted with the Premier League for a couple of years. A few people didn't quite fancy him. He's come in, and alongside that axis of Neves and Moutinho, I think he's changed their season from when he's come in, and I just think they look like a solid side now,
didn't he? But I think more tackles, more interceptions than anyone else. He's been, like a lot of their signings, he's been excellent. They haven't had many duds, and I'm not too sure there's that many sides can say that. How many sides can say that in the Premier League with all their signings? I can't think of one that actually hasn't worked for them.
No.
Which, you know, whether that's good agency work from Mendes or, you know, good recruitment, either way.
Let's not worry about how they came in.
Yes.
Let's not get into all that. Let's enjoy the fact they're here from a neutral perspective.
And I do enjoy watching, because one of my favourite players in the league is Doherty.
Yeah.
The incredible fullback or
and he's
right
been there
winger.
For years.
Yeah, or right winger or whatever he is. But he's absolutely incredible. People talk about, you've got to rest people when it's hard. You don't rest him, because if you stop him, that's him. He'll just go flat. Mm. He just needs to keep going and going. The amount of goal scoring positions he gets in is absolutely incredible.
He's a fantasy football dream this year, Doherty.
I wonder how they'll play, though. I mean, will they, give up, surrender possession as they did last week and go, you know, we're just going to sit behind the ball, play a back five, try and hit you on the break, nick one and maybe get a result? Because not many sides can do that and get a victory. It looked like last week they nearly done it. And how will they play at home? I saw them at home against Man City and they played exactly that way and were terrific. I wonder how they'll play here, whether they'll go for them or just sit back and try and hit them on the counter.
But I look at United, and United haven't got the ball retention ability of a Chelsea, haven't got the players, or a Manchester City.
Well, that's what I mean. I wonder how the game will go. It's not going to be like those two. Will they go for United a little bit more? Yeah, we'll have to see.
We're going to move on to Man United. Last weekend at the Emirates, at the game, I thought they played very, very well, apart from that opening 15-minute blitz from Arsenal, where they scored that weird goal that maybe De Gea should have saved. I don't want to get into that too much. Wind assist. It was windy. It was blustery. You've got to say that, but it was a lovely finish. Solskjaer called it a Brazilian effort, and I'm not going to disagree with that. I want to ask you about the centre-forward situation, Paul. Last weekend, I thought Lukaku missed four amazing chances for Man United, hit the bar in the second half as well. He had another chance that he should have scored, and a couple of others as well. For this game, does Rashford go back in the centre? Does Lukaku go back to the bench?
The problem he's got at the moment is because of Lingard. I think Lingard, I don't know if he's going to be right this weekend. I think Herrera's back. But I think if he could play if he had a Martial, a Rashford and a Lingard fit...
But Martial is fit for this one.
He has to start, as far as I'm concerned. Would I start without Lukaku? I would. I definitely would do, to get United free-flowing and play of energy. Because you look at it, if Lukaku doesn't score a goal, then you're scratching your head wondering what he's given you, except a headache. Because when he missed two sitters, the one in the first half was a shocking miss, the one that he hit into the ground and it went up to the crossbar.
At 0-0 as well,
at that point. Then he had one in the second half where a decent forward might have let it run across his body, or his first touch would have been in front of him rather than behind him for him to get tackled. But his general play is very, very poor. And everything with United lingers going forward because the moment he has a touch of it, it takes the tempo away.
Well, if I was him and I'd scored six goals in four games, I'd be gutted if I was left out. Mm. I know he might have been poor against Arsenal, but he's terrific in the previous three, so... It gives him something a little bit different, doesn't he? He's that physical presence, maybe against Wolves' back three. I don't know, if they do sit in, maybe they'll need that. I don't know if there's maybe not as much room to run in behind for Rashford if they sit deep. Would it suit Lukaku more?
big choice for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in this game. And what a cup game this is. What a tie. I'm telling you, this FA Cup quarter-final run, there are some brilliant, brilliant games. We're going to talk about the other two when we come back, which... okay, one of them looks like it could be easy, but you never know. It's the FA Cup, right? It's Swansea Man City up next. Stay with us.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
Right, two further FA Cup games I want to talk about now. Let's start with Swansea City. Relegated last season, of course. What an achievement to be at this stage of the FA Cup. Unfortunately for them, they drew Manchester City at this stage. It is a 5:20 UK time kickoff on Saturday. Oh, I hate these confusing cup kickoff times. It's driving me mad, this. Just pick your slots, 12:30, 3 o'clock, 5:30. 8 p.m. and do it there. Because you never know, do you? I've missed the first 10 minutes of so many games this year. It's driving me mad.
Well, you do know now. You've just said it.
Yeah, so. I'm making sure the audience know. I'm making sure you know. put this in your diary, all right? Anyway, before we talk about Swansea and their season and all that sort of stuff and their victory against Brentford 4-1 in the last round, we've got to bring this up. Now, out there, you may not have seen this. If you haven't, I highly recommend you put into Google Bersant Celina's missed penalty in the game on Wednesday between Swansea and West Brom. Dave, it is sumptuously good.
It is amazing. Did he kick the ground? Or it basically, if
he's
you haven't
kind of
seen
slipped
it,
as he runs?
The ball just sort of runs 2 yards to the side of him and then the players come in and they clear the ball. But my reaction, I have to say, forgive me for being slightly self-indulgent here, it made me happy. Because at the weekend, on Sunday morning, for the mighty Ribblesdale Rovers, we had a big cup quarter-final match. It was a brutal match. Our keeper scored in normal time to take it to extra time. It was a ding-dong battle, 3-all after extra time, penalty shootout. I'm a centre-half and somehow I found myself taking the fifth penalty. All I had to do was put it in and we'd have been through. The keeper saved it. We went on to lose in sudden death and I've been thinking about it ever since.
But
to
see that,
if a pro can do that, at least I hit the target, eh? Yeah.
You're better than Bersant Celina. That's good. I'm pleased that it gave you a little bit
and
of closure.
And he was only taking that pen, I think, because Ollie McBurney wasn't playing, who normally is on pens. So that's always a worry when you've got someone stepping up who doesn't take them regularly and you try and do something clever.
What was he trying to do? Just a little
I think
panenka?
A little panic. Yeah, is that what he'd call it?
Panenka, yeah.
Oh, no.
Leave it to Messi.
Yeah.
or Aguero.
Yeah, very true. Listen, let's talk a little bit about Swansea City. David Connolly, you covered a lot of championship this season, of course. 15th in the table, no chance of going down, no chance of the playoffs, but maybe not the worst place to be for Swansea. It could have been a lot worse earlier in the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think Potter's doing an okay job. You wouldn't say he's sort of done any magic there. You know, their form has been a little bit up and down. They've had some decent results but then followed up with some really poor ones. They had a decent win over Bolton, but look, I can't see them getting anything out of this game. They're a young side, they've got some talent in the likes of Danny James is terrific.
So Danny James is the guy, for those that saw the Brentford game, he's the guy that had that incredible turn of pace and scored the second, I think, on the day.
Didn't someone try and get him?
Leeds.
Yeah, Leeds.
Was it Leeds? Was it
for about 10 mil? And he is a really good player. You've got McBurney, James, you've got Salina. They've got some really talented boys, you know, but this should be a comfortable victory for City.
It is going to be a comfortable win, obviously, for Man City. You know, you never know in the Cup, but of course, with Man City, they are just a points guzzling machine right now. So how does Swansea approach it then, Paul? What's the game plan going into this game? Are they going to go into it seven at the back, like Bournemouth did, have no shots in the Premier League a couple of weeks ago, or will they try and do something against Man City? What's the mentality?
Maybe they've gone and spoken to the Newport County manager.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they've done very well. I mean, maybe the pitch was, as the saying goes, a little bit of a leveller, but should have been, but Man City rose above that. So how do you stop Man City? I think the end of the day, if you're Swansea, the way things are, you go out there and you just get on with it and you enjoy it.
Newport had a go, didn't they? They sort of gave it their best shot. They had a chance early on. They could have gone ahead. They got back in the game, and I think that's what you've got to do. Look, you're up against best team in the land, best team in Europe, best team in the world, potentially. Just give it your best shot and see what happens.
I think it's going to be a meeting of similar minds because Swansea like to play a possession type game. I mean, the Swansea way was always lauded, wasn't it? Whether it's Martinez and Rodgers. So I think it's going to be a similar game, which I don't think will stand Swansea in good stead. I think they're going to get comfortably beaten.
Let's talk Man City. If there is such a thing as a football god, he absolutely smiles on Man City this season. The financial authorities might not, but that's a whole other thing. Because, of course, in the Champions League, they got Schalke, who are struggling under Tedesco in the Bundesliga, like 15th or 16th, had a terrible season. In the Carabao Cup, they got Chelsea on that awful run on the final and beat them in the end. That was a better final than we thought it would be. And now they've got Swansea in the FA Cup quarterfinals. I mean, everything is just at the right moment turning their way. And not only that, Paul, they're playing some incredible stuff right now. Another seven against Schalke in midweek.
Yeah, they certainly are. I mean, they're prior to that, though, Schalke, they had two very tough games, didn't they? Premier League games where they've had to work hard for them. Obviously, one of them was against Watford as well. The previous one,
Bournemouth. West Ham before that wasn't easy.
Yeah, difficult games they've had. And they're showing that kind of spirit that takes you by, because when you get in a position of nearly winning something, everybody doesn't want to be that team that got beaten for you to go on. No one wants to be talked about in that light. So they make it very difficult, and they've got over that. So what you're saying is right. Everything seems to be going their way at the moment in time. They'll get through Swansea, without a doubt. The draw in the Champions League, is that going to be favourable for them as well? And you look at the league, well, that's an open one at the moment. Yeah. That's very, very open. But for City at the moment, that they're in the driving seat.
I don't think that result against Schalke would actually, I know it sounds strange, but whether Pep would have wanted that, because I think he thinks they're actually, you know, far, far better than Schalke, and that's, you know, they're going to face much tougher ties. He's already said, you know, we're teenagers in Champions League, meaning they don't really have that depth of experience there.
Wealthy teenagers.
Might be wealthy teenagers.
The kind of teenagers that have a Sweet 16 party at like the Hilton Hotel and giraffes come in. That kind of thing.
But I think you're right there, because I think if you look at this niche, that was silly.
Gonna spread my wings, Sweet 16. What a show. Check it out.
It's going to get back. We're here for football, yeah? Yeah. The start of that game against Schalke. Schalke had a bit of a go, didn't they? And they was competing. But the moment they scored Man City, they capitulated. They showed that Schalke showed their Bundesliga's form, because they just gave up. They've never seen the German side wilt so quickly.
Yeah. They've got some serious problems. What about some players at Man City? I want to ask you both about a few. David Conlon, let's start with one. Raheem Sterling. First goal last week, we mentioned, an absolute travesty of awful officiating. But then his third goal, a tremendous solo effort. Some talk about him being in the running for a player of the year. Where do you stand?
Yeah, he's got to be. I mean, I can't see why not. He's certainly up there. He's been terrific. His game has come on. His reliability, his accuracy, he's more deadly in front of goal. You know, his ability to take chances now and be clinical. And that final pass, that final shot, that final control, I think was always, not always, sometimes missing with Raheem Sterling. And I think Pep probably got a little bit frustrated with him early doors, but he's obviously worked with him relentlessly, backed him, and he's now, yeah, he's got to be up there. I'd give it to Van Dijk, but certainly Raheem Sterling should be up there and considered one of them. He's been superb. I mean, that finish against Schalke away, which was a really important goal for them, you know, that wasn't an easy one. It looked like it, but I don't know many other players would have actually won that race anyway and then been able to finish. So he's got the lot. He's done terrific.
Paul, for you, Bernardo Silva signed a new contract at Man City this week. How important has he become to what they do?
Very, very much, because there's one point you was asking a question, why has Pep signed him? Because why you signed him? You've got David Silva, you've got other players, you've got a young player called Foden. You know, you've got De Bruyne. Yeah. You've got all those players, and where are you going to play him? You've got Sane, who plays on one side. You know, what are you going to do? And all of a sudden, you suddenly think to yourself, he's a replacement for David Silva. You can actually see that maybe happening, him coming in and taking that role. And he, for City, if you're talking about a City best 11 this season, he would definitely be in there, without a doubt. Because not only does he make goals, he scores goals. And just how unselfish is incredible.
And David, for you, Gundogan been playing in that role in place of Fernandinho, but some talk this week that he doesn't want to talk about a contract extension because he doesn't know whether he's in the actual first team.
I don't know. I mean, you'd have Fernandinho ahead of him, wouldn't you, in that role every day of the week? And when Fernandinho had that injury spell over Christmas time, he was one of the number of players who came in to try and replace him, and it didn't really work, and they had that little wobble. But I mean, he's still a terrific player. But Paul said, you know, Bernardo Silva gets in the first 11. I don't think Gundogan does when everyone's fit.
Lots of world-class talent at Man City. Good luck, Swansea, this weekend. I think we can all agree on that message. Right, let's move on. Millwall against Brighton is the other game in the FA Cup. What a chance for both of these teams to make it a semi-final. It's 2 o'clock UK time on Sunday. Millwall been struggling in the league in recent times, but picked up a huge, huge win for them on Wednesday against Birmingham. A 2-0 victory. Ben Thompson scored twice. Lee Gregory set the first one up. He's been playing quite well in recent weeks as well. David Connolly, wanted to come to you on this. Of course, you've covered Millwall quite recently. How on earth do they keep getting to the latter stages of cup competitions? What is going on? People will be asking that Everton can't do it, West Ham can't do it. You know, loads of big teams in the Premier League can't do it, but Millwall keep making last eight, last four of major tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, look, they've had a difficult season because they had such a great season last season, and suddenly a lot of the spotlight is on Neil Harris and his men, and, you know, suddenly their players are coveted, so Savile's gone for a lot of money, and I don't think Millwall were ever really in that position where other teams wanted their players. They've got an ageing squad, we know that, Steve Morrison, so he hasn't really been able to play a 4-4-2 that he'd want to play, so it's taken him a little bit of time to find the right formula. And you spoke about Ben Thompson. I mean, the two goals he got last night were absolutely fantastic, and he had a great loan spell at Portsmouth. Look, they put Everton to the sword, played very direct, ugly type of game, and look, I think that will probably suit Brighton because they've got Duncan Duffy. I don't think that will really cause them too many problems, you know. But on their day, they could beat anyone. I don't think Brighton will relish it, certainly. And they've been able to mix it now. Now they don't have Morrison, they've had to play it a little bit on the deck, and they have shown me, well, they've got some good footballers. They're like Jed Wallace, example. So this will be a difficult game for Brighton.
What about the Den? Give me a sense of the Den factor in this one, because big teams go there and they often come away with nothing.
Can I talk about the old Den?
Of course you can.
The proper Den. Now that, I mean, the new one looks quite nice. Just look at it on the train. That's as close as I've got to it.
Yeah, driving in there, it's not great.
And it's you look at it, you think, you know, that's impressive.
Yeah.
It's just when you get inside it, I imagine it's horrible. But the old Den was, you walk in under the Coldblow Lane, the arches, and then not walking, you're on a coach. And that's the bit when you suddenly realise you are coming into the Den. Mm. And it's a terrifying place to go as a player. Without a doubt, I went there with Fulham, I went there with QPR, and fortunately enough, I've always come out of it without being beaten. But it is very, very intimidating. They're very parochial in what they are. Everyone there supports that team, and it's something that's never going to change. They're born, and what it seems like they must have it kind of maybe tattooed somewhere on their bodies, is that no one likes us, because that's how they are. That you come, I mean, they relish these kind of games, as just mentioned. Brighton come in there. Brighton and Chris Hughton will know that they should be winning. He believes they'll win, but there's always that nagging doubt. The fact of Millwall, the fans are going to drive those players on to succeed.
I just really hope when we come back in here next week, we're talking about the games on various networks the weekend. We're not having a discussion about something that happened in the crowd, something that happened outside. Of course, we all remember what happened after the game and during the game against Everton in the FA Cup. There's some great fans at Millwall. We want to see the good fans. We don't want to see the morons involved in this one. On the field, Brighton, let's talk about their away form briefly. Terrible all season, and they go to Crystal Palace and win last week. And there's a brilliant story, one of those great things in football. Murray's dropped, he ain't going to play. And Doney's injured in the warm-up, and he comes on and scores a fantastic volley against his former team.
It was a brilliant finish, but he really shouldn't have ever been allowed to get in that position. It was a terrible mistake from Tomkins. I know it was very windy. It was very windy, but I mean, a Premier League centre-half, you'd still be expecting to head a ball away from a big, long goal kick like that. But he's going to, you know, Brighton will be have the reverse against Millwall. They'll have a lot of long balls to deal with this weekend. As David said, I've seen them a few times. They do go very direct. At the Den, they are very difficult when the crowd gets up. This is a really tough game for Brighton, I think. They will have maybe, you know, on the day, they'll obviously be focused on the game, but they're involved in a Premier League relegation battle themselves. They've got a lot of other things to think about. It'll be interesting to see what team he puts out against Millwall. It'll be a tough one.
I think that's a really interesting point. How many changes will Brighton make with the Premier League relegation battle very much still on? They played the first team last week. I wonder if we see people like Izquierdo, who's not been very fit in recent times, whether he gets
he's
a start in this one.
He's not the kind of player you want to
Dan
play
Byrne
down now.
Maybe plays.
Yeah, I mean, some of their players on the periphery need to step up and actually perform for them, because their signings, you've got to say, haven't really worked out. Yahan backs, and we can go on. Mm. So I'm sure those players will get a chance. But you've got to remember, Brighton weren't not too long ago in the Championship. So this is not like an Everton, an established Premier League club, you know, going to the Den. Mm. That would have been their last season, so the season before, whatever. So, you know, it won't faze them. It's just whether the players on the day can perform.
I would say, apart from Man City, I wouldn't want to predict the other three FA Cup games this weekend. They are all right in the balance for various reasons. Wolves, Man U, going to be a great game of football. Brighton, Millwall, probably not, but it's going to be very enjoyable nonetheless. And Crystal Palace, Watford, it's basically the same side facing each other with the same deficiencies and same qualities. A brilliant, brilliant FA Cup quarterfinal weekend, which of course we'll bring you this weekend in detail. Right, also Premier League games to get through. Some Premier League action this weekend gets quite rightly swept under the carpet when the FA Cup is on, but some potentially decisive and important games. Let's get to it. Right, let's start with Everton-Chelsea, 4:30 UK time on Sunday. For Everton, they've won just one of their last eight Premier League home games, four defeats in that time. They've not beaten a side from the top six since the thrashing of Man City back in January 2017, Guardiola's first season. A lot has happened since then. Everton have had about nine managers since then as well. For Chelsea, they've lost three of their last seven Premier League games, as many as they had in their first 22 this season, and of course probably could and should have lost against Wolverhampton Wanderers last week. I want to start with Everton, though. And I want to start with Jordan Pickford. In the England squad, named by Gareth Southgate earlier this week, but last weekend against Newcastle, I mean, he was mugging to the crowd. He should have given a penalty away for a WWE-style gore on the attacker in that game, and he got a yellow card when he should have got a red to give the penalty away. What about his form? What about the way he's playing? Is England's number one right now, David?
Well, I tell you what, there aren't that many. What, Heaton, he's not having a particularly good time either at the minute. But Butland, so I think they're struggling in goal. I'm really surprised Pickford is in the England squad. I think Gareth Southgate has shown a lot of loyalty there, like he has done to a lot of players.
He's got possession of the shirt, though, isn't he?
So he has.
He is the number one. And until he performs badly in an England shirt, you'd imagine he'll keep it.
Yes, although if he keeps performing like he is for Everton, you imagine that he will have one of those performances for England.
What do you make of that, like sticking his tongue out to the crowd and all
stuff.
That?
Well,
he got involved, didn't he? Being ex-Sunderland, he got involved in it when his England goalkeeper shouldn't have got involved in it. The Newcastle got what they wanted out of him, and he cost them the game in the end. He's him being so unprofessional cost them the goal. The penalty that he gave away was sloppy. I listened to a phone in, and there was Everton fans ringing up about him. They just don't see how he actually plays for England, let alone, you know, plays for their club, let alone plays for England.
Too much is made of how good he is with his feet,
yeah.
To me, which
yeah.
He is good with his feet.
He can
don't
kick
get me
ball
wrong,
long.
He can. He can pick people out, and that's great, but shot stopping and dealing with crosses and stuff, it's not just, you know, last week. You can say that a lot of times this season.
I want to ask you about Dominic Calvert-Lewin as well. He's someone that I've been really hoping is going to make the big breakthrough for a long, long time. Scored a great goal against Cardiff a couple of weeks ago. Scored the opening goal against Newcastle last week, if memory serves, as well. Is there any chance, do you think, Paul, let's come to you on this. Is there a chance, do you think, with Dominic Calvert-Lewin that he could make a Harry Kane-style breakout? Does he have that sort of potential, do you think?
I wish I'd known you were going to ask me this, because I would have then maybe gone and looked through the years of all these young centre-forwards who have come through the ranks at Everton, and I would have said there's only one, which is Rooney. Mm. Every other one of them have all disappeared. All
the Cadamatery corridors. Yeah,
all of them, who's the one who went to Arsenal? I forgot.
Francis Jeffers.
They all fall out of bed. They all disappear. And he's another one where we've seen him 3-4 seasons now. He's been going and hasn't done it. He nicks the odd goal, the odd important goal. Everyone goes, wow. And then he disappears again.
Maybe he is young, though, isn't he? I mean, he's probably getting his chance because every other number nine they've signed just hasn't worked out. Yeah. And he's just a young player. I think he needs, you know, a bit of time and
patience.
But
Harry Kane's still a young player. He's 25. That's young, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
At some point, you've got to make that jump.
I personally think that I look at him, I don't think he can go any further. Maybe if he leaves Everton and moves on because it's his hometown team, or he may need to move away to try to see if he can get away from it. But I really look at the way Everton is at a club as well at this moment in time under the present manager, which is very unstable. Mm. His job's very unstable. I can't see him really pushing on.
Well, and also, Richarlison was playing a nine, and he wasn't really working out. Now they've moved him back wide. Now Calvert-Lewin's down through the middle. So he's trying to plug a few holes there, Sylvie. He hasn't quite got the formula right yet. But look, he scored a couple of goals, Calvert-Lewin, so I'm pleased for him.
Surprised last week that Morgan Schneiderlin went back down to the bench and Andre Gomez came in. They look more solid, Garner and Schneiderlin back together. Let's talk Chelsea, though. Maurizio Sarri once again proved last week what an utterly charmless man he is. You think Wolves played well? No, I don't. And that's essentially the Essex version of how he responded to that question. I can't do the Italian impression, but they struggled, didn't they, David, all game against Wolverhampton Wanderers. Couldn't break them down. It took the magic man, Eden Hazard, to bail them out.
Yes, and I'm sure he would have rather have left him on the bench, but as it is, he come on and does what he does best. I mean, he's got that quality. However, now Zidane's taking over at Real Madrid, I've got a feeling that he'll be looking to come and take Hazard with him. I've got something just tells me he's not going to be at Stamford Bridge for too much longer. So I think those Chelsea fans should enjoy him while he's there.
Shall we move on to Bournemouth against Newcastle? That's Saturday, 3 o'clock UK time for Newcastle. They've picked up just 2 points from their last 18 away from home. Two draws and four defeats in that time. But this is where I want to start with Bournemouth. Ryan Fraser and Callum Wilson back in tandem last weekend against Huddersfield, combined for 9 Premier League goals with Bournemouth this season. They're the best duo since 1998-1999, and Nelka and Bergkamp, who combined for 10 goals in that season. And we spoke about it before on the show that the season shouldn't tail off when a player gets injured. But when Callum Wilson's out, Bournemouth struggle. When he's back, they look very, very good.
They do. I mean, he's a top player. And I know Eddie Howe just said, you know, he's got the lot. You know, he's strong, he's quick, he's powerful, he runs in behind, he holds the ball up, he can finish from crosses, he can finish in open play, which to me tells me he's going to be on his way. You know, someone's going to come and buy him.
He's in the England squad again, isn't he?
He's in the England squad, whether it's Chelsea or whoever.
Always injured though, Dave, isn't he?
Yeah,
always.
He is. He does pick up those injuries. And he's battled back so well, hasn't he? You've got to say, from those injuries. And he's a top player.
Absolutely, top player. What about Newcastle, Paul Parker? I want to ask you about this, because I'm always baffled about this. I think it's something that, from the outside, we're always confused about, right? You've got teams, don't shake your head, don't know the question yet. You've got teams who are brilliant at home, which they are, you know, a come from behind win against Everton last week, great against Burnley a couple weeks ago when I saw them, but away from home they do nothing. Like, they just try and hold on in games, which they nearly did to victory against Wolves a few weeks ago. What is the message from the coach? What is the reason for a team, I suppose it goes to Bournemouth as well, exactly the same problem, that a team can be great at home and bad away? Do they just focus on the home games? Do they tell players to play at 75% away from home? Where does this happen?
My message is always when I've been asked sometimes to do a game and Newcastle are coming to London to do a game, my message is, I don't want to do it. That's my message. Because I absolutely cannot stand to watch them, because they're the most negative team away from home I have ever seen. They look like a side who do not want to score a goal, got no belief in scoring a goal. Well, they've got a manager who will moan at the fourth official mostly more than he moans at his missus. They are absolutely woeful to watch away from
They're
home.
Gonna stay up though, yeah. Don't you think?
Well,
so he's done
next
his job.
Season I've got to go and do the same thing again. It's just they drive me absolutely
Rafa
mad.
Benitez is not going to be there next season.
Well,
come on, I don't want to talk about
well,
that.
Let's just say that even when he was at Liverpool were relied on individuals to do jobs, but Liverpool were quite negative under him when he played.
So too
as well.
Negative, and that's the reason. I mean, yeah. It's as good a reason as any that I've heard so far. But I love it when Newcastle win, because he does this thing. It's worth watching when they win. He takes his glasses off immediately, puts them in his top pocket, and then goes for the handshake. I love it. It's a real, like, I don't know, maybe because I'm a glasses wearer, but I love that little celebration. Victory, glasses off, go. Fantastic.
Is that all? Never when they lose or draw?
When they lose, keeps them on.
Oh, right.
Okay. Keep your eyes peeled for it. It's just something I've noticed. I love it. Right, got to move on. Burnley against Leicester City. Dyche against Brendan Rodgers. After an 8-game unbeaten run in the Premier League, Burnley have lost each of their last three. For Leicester, 2 wins in 3, as many as they had in the final 8 under Claude Puel. Now, Burnley have been dragged right back into this. They sit on 30 points, 17th in the table, 2 clear of Cardiff City. David Collin, they had that little run, didn't they, where they were picking up points. But all of a sudden, the hoof it and hope thing has stopped working again.
It has, and you know, goalkeeping errors have cost them. And I'm sure he's looking at the fixtures, Sean Dyche, and those final four are really tough. Chelsea, Man City, Arsenal, Everton. I mean, you're not going to get many points there, and you don't want to be battling for points there, knowing you need them to try and stay up. So he's got some big games coming up, winnable games. Yeah, and this is certainly one of them against a lesser side. They were really good
it's
last
tricky.
Week.
This is going to be a bit of a styles clash, isn't it? Because you've got Leicester, who under Rodgers, the Leicester fans were getting a bit frustrated with it last week, weren't they, Paul? But they're going to pass the ball around the back. They're going to play out from the back. They're going to keep possession, but they do look to break Vardy in behind the defence. Tielemans was playing balls inside the fullback. It was all on the floor. It looked very good when it worked, and you're going to get completely opposite from Burnley. But I think this is a difficult game for Burnley.
I wonder at what point in history. Now it's Puel. It's now Rodgers. It's been Shakespeare the second or the last year Ranieri. Leicester fans don't like passing. They don't like it. They don't want to see it. They don't enjoy it. So stop bringing in managers who like passing it. Some fans just don't like it. You bring in someone to Millwall who likes to keep the ball on the deck, everyone's going to stay at home, aren't they?
They are. I think that's it's a good point, because certain styles of football suit. So look, we've seen that with Ollie at United. You know, Millwall, if you played one up top, they'd go mental. They want to see a 4-4-2
or whatever. We play our way.
Yes. So I understand what you're saying about Leicester. Certainly the need to play direct, play to Vardy's strengths. What happens when his legs go? They're going to have to start thinking about that. But look, his pace, it doesn't seem any sign of slowing down. And you know, good luck to them. I think some of their signings have been decent. Tielemans has been a real improvement, hasn't he, for them? And I'm sure in the summer
Barnes has been good.
Madison,
Madison at the weekend he kept getting pulled off all the time, didn't he? Before, he kept taking him off the previous manager. And every time the first thing he does, the moment the ball gets in the midfield, Madison's facing the goal, his first look is always in behind for Vardy. Harvey Barnes was exactly the same, everything Vardy. And it was
he doesn't get many chances either, does he? I was at Stamford Bridge. They had one chance, Leicester. I think it was Madison into Vardy. That was his only shot of goal. Bang, in the back of the net. And that shows the quality of him, that he gets half a chance and it's a goal. And I think as well, Leicester, if they've paid 9 million, I think, to get Rodgers and his staff, 9 million compensation. If you pay someone 9 million, you're going to be giving him 90 million to go and spend. So I imagine this summer they'll be very busy.
Tiamon, 40 million, they reckon. Is he worth that? Man, that's a huge chunk of a £90 million transfer budget.
To be honest, he was in the game a lot last weekend. What I saw of him, I quite liked. Is he going to embed himself and get himself in bed? His start has been decent. Can he move on from there? The start's been good. You have to believe that he can get better. So for £40 million, compared to Anderson at West Ham, I would put more trust in him for £40 million.
And just going back to Vardy, I got it down here. Only Kane, Aguero and Lukaku have scored more goals than he has since, I think, 2014.
Love it.
That's a pretty good record.
I hope he goes on forever. 32 now. I wish he was 25. I love Jamie Vardy. Listen, one final game we've got to get to. You mentioned West Ham, so let's touch on this game. West Ham against Huddersfield Town, Saturday, 3 o'clock UK time. I thought last week, West Ham's performance against Cardiff, and I'd include the Wimbledon loss, was the worst performance of the season. The
absolute
worst performance.
What did we say? Last week? We were sitting here last week and
you were
being assured that West Ham, they're gonna be okay. They're not going to lose this game. And look what happened.
The baffling thing about it for me, and I'd love to get your take on this, guys, is that they've got Lanzini, Anderson, Arnautovic came on in this game, Samir Nasri, Mikel Antonio, Robert Snodgrass. They're not creating chances in open play. That's 5 or 6
good quality, Premier League quality, creative talents, and yet they're not creating chances.
Fairies away from home, is that what you're sort of alluding to?
I mean, I don't know what the answer is. Maybe.
It could be. I mean, you know, Cardiff had lost, I think, the previous three, 10-1 on aggregate. And they go into Cardiff and you think, you know, and they get turned over that comfortably.
2-0 did not flatter Cardiff at all. It could have been 5-6.
But what I would say is they're playing at home against a side who are just absolutely doomed in freefall, lost 5 out of 6. They can't score a goal. I imagine all those players there will turn up at the London Stadium. But the worry for West Ham fans is that obviously they don't away from home.
Yeah. Marko Arnautović apparently is deeply frustrated with his current role on the bench. I was quite annoyed when he totally ruined the season, so I'm not that sympathetic towards him. Does he come back in this weekend though, do you reckon?
He might do, but I mean, I think the fans are with the manager at the moment in time. The manager's having to look at people who he believes are going to be there next season. He made his mind up that he wanted to go and win trophies in the mighty China. Didn't work out, so he's going to have to stay and get on with it. I like watching him. I think he makes a massive difference to West Ham. If he's not scoring, he's making opportunities through good balls or the fact of hunting down bad balls. But they do need him in at this moment in time. They need someone strong and determined. And he's the only player they've got in the club who can do that. Hernandez is just going around acting like he's been fouled on pitches. I mean, that was embarrassing. And you've got Andy Carroll.
Oh, he's out for the season. Done his ankle, so he'll never play for West Ham again. So there is something to celebrate on the show today. That's great news. Hey?
He's been poor when he has played, and you'd never believe he was going to get another contract.
Yeah, he was fantastic a couple of years ago, but it's all caught up with him
Is he putting on Arnautović basically on the naughty step? You know, because if he signed a new deal, right, so he's on more money. Unless they're going to, you know, flog him in the summer, I don't really know what he's doing.
I think he'll be flogged. I'd be amazed if he was there starting.
It'd be interesting to see where he gets flogged to, because just before the start of last season, there were some reports linking him with clubs like Manchester United.
Yeah, Mourinho wanted
him,
apparently.
That's not happening anymore, is it?
No. Wherever Mourinho goes, PSG, something like that, maybe? I don't know. He'll probably end up playing at Rennes or something like that. That's more his level. Sorry, Marco. Briefly on Huddersfield, for a moment, they picked up their victory over Wolves. Double over Wolves, which is quite unbelievable. They're playing a diamond in midfield. They've got Stankovic at DM, but since that win, a couple losses, and they were really ripped apart by Bournemouth last
week. I mean, they played very direct. Put 25 balls in the box with a big front two. Like, just get it in there at every opportunity. You know, they're trying, but obviously they're doomed. You know, there's nothing for them this season.
Yeah, absolutely. Poor old Huddersfield Town, a couple of weeks away now from the inevitable relegation for them. We are out of time on today's show. Thank you, Paul, David and David. We are going to be back on Monday with a review show of this weekend, a kind of holding show, because of course it's the international break and I'll be on the beach, so I honestly won't care what's happening from next Monday. So we're going to do something for you then, and then we're back when the Premier League returns in a fortnight, so we'll see you then.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. Be gambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.